The Construction Employers Podcast, your connection to what's happening in the Northeast Ohio construction industry. Brought to you by the Construction Employers Association.
Well, hello, hello. As you can tell, this is not Tim Linville. This is Myra Rosario, your CEA Communications Liaison. I'm here with Keith Lashinger. Helping me with your last name. I'm sorry.
People
Keith.
Always need help with it. Lashinger.
Yes.
And I'm the Executive Director for Cleveland Builds and the Director of Workforce Programs for Construction Employers Association.
Right. And I'm also here with AC. Introduce yourself, please.
I am AC Fenderson, Director of Mentoring and Placement.
His title just changed. That's why he had a little pause there.
For yes. Cleveland Builds. And we have a special guest here today to share with us some special announcements regarding Cleveland Builds. Michelle, will you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, everyone. This is Michelle Rose. I'm the Executive Director of the Cleveland Cuyahoga County Workforce Development Board. And you may know us by our operating name, which is Ohio Means Jobs.
Wonderful. So Keith, so share with our members all this exciting stuff that's happening with Cleveland Builds and why Michelle is here visiting us and AC and yeah, let's share.
Yeah. So we're at a really exciting inflection point as a city, as a county, and as an organization, as Cleveland Builds. So for Michelle, it probably seems like decades ago, but I think it was just months ago, maybe late 2022 or early 2023, there was an opportunity, and I don't know everything that happened behind the scenes, but I'm sure there was a lot of advocacy work that Michelle was doing and talking with council members and talking with the mayor and members of Mayor Bibb's administration. But essentially, at some point, there was an opportunity for City Council to invest $10 million of ARPA funding. So that was basically relief funding from coming out of COVID, but to invest $10 million of that in what we're calling the built environment workforce development. And Cleveland Builds intersects with that pretty significantly. And after several different discussions with Michelle and her assistant director, Laura, and some other folks, it was determined that Cleveland Builds was going to receive an investment of $1.425 million between now and December 2026. And, it presents a phenomenal opportunity. We're going to train something like 500 Cleveland residents and place over 300 Cleveland residents in union apprenticeships. So we've got a phenomenal opportunity here, a wee little bit of pressure, but we're ready for it. And I, mentioned just a couple minutes ago that AC's title changed. AC has been, some of the listeners may know this, AC's been with Cleveland Builds. He was our second full-time employee after me and joined last February. He came directly out of the field. And I mean directly out of the field. I think the first couple of interviews he came in with concrete on his boots and his pants and coming as a, he's a member of Local 404, the Cement Masons.
Nice.
And AC had been our director of training and placement. And because of this unique opportunity, we said, we've really got to separate out the training and the placement. One person can't do both of those functions. So AC has a particular gift for working with our participants, and we're real excited to have him step into the placement and mentoring role. So he'll be playing a bit of a support role, even after placement and working with folks to make sure that they're successful in their apprenticeships. And Darlene Glass, who had been working with us as a 1099 training contractor, has now stepped into a full-time role. She and AC collectively have, something like 45 years of experience in the field. Darlene as a carpenter and AC as a cement mason. And so we always want to be industry led and make sure that we've got folks doing the training here who know their stuff. Darlene and AC have started to bring in additional trainers, folks that will serve as, again, 1099 contractors with us, but we've brought in a laborer, we've brought in a roofer, we've brought in an electrical worker, so we're starting to see other trades represented as well, and we're really proud of the fact that we're retaining our diversity as we do that. We're making sure that we're well represented with women in the trades, with African Americans, Cleveland residents, et cetera. So great opportunities. The only other thing I want to mention, we next door to CEA, we've got a new training shop that we invested in, and we're leasing a 2,600 foot space, and that's where all the training is taking place now. And so floors are often covered in sawdust, and AC is going to start to cover them a little bit. I don't want our landlords after us, but we'll get some concrete going, and we'll do some laborers work. There's evidence of the roofers over there, and got some rebar for iron workers. So anyway, cool stuff is happening. We haven't quite gotten that first check in yet, and I'm not saying that to put any pressure on Michelle, but we're in a great position to start to make investments that really I think are going to help the Cleveland workforce and county workforce, and so we're on the precipice of big things.
So Michelle, so this is a new relationship. You just came across Cleveland Builds. Can you tell us like how that came about? Share with us a little bit about your background and your history as well.
Sure. I've been in this role just about a year now. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary next week. And I was introduced to Cleveland Builds and to Keith really probably within my first month or so. And I remember the first time we met, you talked about AC and how he was the secret sauce to this programming's success. So it's so nice to be with you in person, AC. It was clear to me pretty soon after I got here that this sector or mega sector that we're building through Built Environment, which is construction and other kinds of skilled trades, was in need of some systemic support. So in the workforce ecosystem, we've spent a lot of money creating connectivity and programming and supports for manufacturing, for healthcare, for technology. And it felt like Built Environment, as we've defined it, was ready for that kind of support and lift. And we found that through the ARPA funding. When I started in this role, the mayor assigned all of his cabinet members and the community to bring forth proposals for funding that were transformational. And I really believe that this $10 million initiative that Keith was describing, of which Cleveland Builds will receive $1.425, is that where we landed?
$425,
is a huge part of that transformation, making sure that Cleveland residents have awareness of engagement in these opportunities and that they are supported through training, through their placement, and through employment. And so I'm really excited about this initiative. We're just getting going, but it's really going to help build upon and scale the work that Keith and AC have been doing here for a while.
Yeah. So can you share with us about your move from Washington,
sure,
D.C.
to
Cleveland?
I skipped over that part, but that too is part of the story because I have spent most of my career at the United States Department of Labor. I worked all 8 years of the Obama administration wire to wire, and then I moved back to Cleveland from 2017 to 2021. That was great, but I got called back one more time to serve in the Biden Labor Department for the first 17 months of the Biden administration. In that time, I was the head of congressional and intergovernmental affairs at the Labor Department, which meant that I worked with Congress and I worked with mayors and governors. Mm-hmm. When working with Congress, I spent a lot of time on the negotiations leading to the rescue plan, or ARPA, as we call it now, the bipartisan infrastructure law, which is a huge genesis of this project, the Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed actually after I left, and the CHIPS Act, which has some downstream impacts considering the placement of Intel in Columbus. So all of these huge federal investments are great, and I'm proud of them. But what I was really seeing at the federal level was that communities were not shovel ready for these kinds of investments, both in terms of physical work, but also in terms of the workforce. And so I really felt like one of the assignments when I got here was to explore what that could mean, which led me to this built environment concept. And we built out the partner list from there. But a big part of the reason I came home too was to work for Mayor Bibb. I had known him when I was in Cleveland earlier. I really feel like Ohio Means Jobs and the Workforce Board can be a place for good change. And I was eager to raise my family in Northeast Ohio. I grew up here, and I'm very happy to be back. June is a beautiful month in Cleveland, and so everything's feeling good now that I'm back here.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Painesville Township in Lake County.
AC's putting his arms up. Is that where you're from, AC?
No, I live in Minner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I live right next door. Now I live in Cuyahoga County, but I'm really happy to be here. I'm about a year into this job, and this Built Environment Initiative has been really the through line of my whole year here. The most public and important investment that we are cultivating, designing, and implementing.
Wonderful. Now, how does the Cleveland Builds align with the Bibb administration's messaging with workforce development?
Well, you know, when operating Ohio Means Jobs or this Built Environment Workforce Development Initiative, the most important thing we can look for in partners is the ability to scale existing programming. So we don't want to reinvent any wheels. But we also want to be working with partners who have community trust, who already have a baseline of being able and demonstrating being able to reach residents who have been historically excluded from a lot of these opportunities. And to me, Cleveland Builds emerged as an obvious partner for all of those reasons. And like I said, I met Keith pretty early on in my time, and we just kind of went from there, and we've built out other partners, but Cleveland Builds really is core to the work, because part of what is critical about this built environment investment is that we are confident that the jobs we are asking residents to train for are good union jobs. And that is really important to me, that we have that certainty.
Yeah. And with the direct access into the industry through CEA Cleveland Builds. Keith, you might have a question, but I do want to ask AC if he has any updates for the members in regards to the classes, the people that you're seeing coming through, maybe some feedback you can share.
Started on the spot there. The classes are great. With the best thing about the classes, it is an open environment. People from different walks of life are able to come together and sort of build a camaraderie. As they go through the class, it's emphasized that you will see each other one day out in the field, get to know each other, support each other through everything. Like Keith said, my title has somewhat changed. At first I didn't quite understand the importance of it. But when I looked at it in hindsight, I had to take some of my personal experience of how it was for me to transition into the field. Like Michelle said, they are coming into an environment that, that they may not necessarily be mentally ready for, because it's a transition.
Right.
And I think Cleveland Builds has the ability to help ease that transition, kind of remove some of those hurdles out of the way, whether it's financial, whether it's mental, where you just have to be able to understand the lifestyle changes. Some of those lifestyle changes you will need to do in order to be able to be successful in it.
Yeah. But my daughter calls it adulting.
Yes.
She's like, adulting, Mom, I need help adulting.
Yes.
But yeah, I do have an adult child.
But the classes are all great. The placement is a little bit difficult sometimes, but it's not difficult to where it's not accomplishable. It's where we just need to work together and be able to build you out to be a strong, for me to be a strong employee. To be a benefit to that company, as well as the company being a benefit to you. So it's highly encouraged that, you know, take the time to invest in yourself. And I could say, if I had to put a number on it, I'd still say probably 100% of the class. Mm-hmm. they are committed to trying to improve their way of life, their situations, and we are usually there to help remove some of those hurdles, even if it's to buy tools. I know with me, a good set of my tools can be $300-$400.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to start a new career, and then you still have to pay your rent, pay your car note, or possibly daycare, to someone that, you know, a Cleveland resident or someone where they're trying to get into that career to be able to provide better for their family may not have $400 laying around, and most people don't. Mm-hmm. So we pretty much just try to help transition them into that and give them whatever support system that they need, even through once they get placed in their apprenticeship, because it still takes some time to adjust to. And I would say we've been pretty good at that the last year and a half. Yeah, year and a half.
So I think, AC, you're really at the heart of one of the things I find so exciting and promising about the Built Environment Project and the work you're doing at Cleveland Builds, which is, you know, we as policymakers and practitioners want to and should invest in non-college options, workforce training opportunities, the same way we invest in think about sending high school graduates to college. And we're starting to see a cultural shift around this and some parity in investment when it comes to the idea that young people in particular want and deserve help in navigating readiness for careers. College does that for people who are in college, but, you know, what is the equivalent and how can we make that also a great, impactful experience for kids coming through Cleveland Builds and then going into skilled trades. So I see more and more of that in the work, but it's one of the reasons that when we think about these built environment jobs, it's great that many of them do not require a college degree, because we shouldn't be asking people to go to college and take on debt unless that's absolutely necessary. And here is a more accessible opportunity and more interesting opportunity for a lot of people. And I'm really excited about that component of it.
Yeah.
This time of year, this is only the second time we've really been through it, but this time of year, we tend to see more young people who just recently graduated from high school coming through our classes. And so that's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
And you'll see that tomorrow at graduation. There are a couple of young guys who, actually three, who have graduated from high school just this year. And so providing them with the opportunity to mingle with folks who are in their 20s, some are in their early 30s that are in that class. And that's a whole different approach that AC has to take with those young people. But some of those, you know, there's a young man that's here doing some extra work as we speak in the training shop next door. And the first time I met him, I'll try to avoid saying his name here, but I said to him, based on the way you're presenting right now, based on the educational background I know you have, I knew he'd received a really good secondary education. I said, you get into this at the age of 18, you can absolutely move into leadership positions within the industry. Mm-hmm. You took on no debt. All the training is basically you're going to get paid and paid pretty darn well while you're doing your training. And I could definitely see him moving into leadership ranks very, very quickly. And who knows, you know, maybe he ends up being a contractor someday. He starts his own business. And so those are the ways when I'm dreaming a little bit about Cleveland Builds, I start to think about that type of impact we could have, you know, a decade down the road, that some of the young people that maybe came through our programming can be in a position to be Cleveland-based contractors who are really helping to build the community. And they better hire Cleveland Builds apprentices when they go on to do that. And I'm confident that they will.
I mean, I think you will see that, but it sounds like me, you're a bit impatient. And I think we always want to see this work pay off.
Guilty.
Sooner than it often can.
Well, speaking of hire, I mean, so Keith, how can the members help Cleveland Builds? I mean, thank you for, you know, the city's funds, but, you know, with our members, you know, hiring people, providing tools, what can our members do?
the most important thing that they can do is really bring on, agree to bring on a first-year apprentice. That's an investment in workforce. That's an investment in a young person really developing his or her, her skills. Frankly, you know, I've heard AC say this a bunch of times, his first year on the job, he wore an awful lot of concrete home. He wasn't a particularly good cement finisher his first year. Hard to believe. But he, you know, obviously over time he got there, but we all start at a certain level, and that's not, you're not going to be particularly strong. I know that, speaking of impatience, I know that a lot of contractors out there would love to be able to bring on, you know, journeymen and women to do projects. And they're probably slightly less interested in bringing on relatively unskilled first year apprentices. But these folks have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And somebody who's relatively unskilled this year is going to be far more skilled next year, and they're going to continue to develop throughout their training. And, you know, in a few years, they're going to be a really valuable asset to you and your company. And I've heard AC position it this way. You know, you bring somebody on, you give someone their very first opportunity, they're going to be very loyal to you, and they're going to want to stick with you as much as they possibly can. Yeah. And they're going to give you their heart and soul.
Yeah. A lot of our members have, you know, employees that have worked with them for over 20 years. And this is where it starts, right? That very first job. And I really think that, like, apprentices that go through the Cleveland Builds program, they get a nice perspective from you, like, than any other apprentices program. They get to see the videos about every different trade. They can decide about the 17 different trades. Can you tell us a little bit more of, like, what are they learning during these cohorts? Like, they're 5 days. Can you lay that out for us a little bit?
Sure. I'll start, and then AC, jump in where I miss something or get something wrong. But
because our members, they will be hiring, you know, people with open perspective about these trades versus, you know, I just want to be, you know.
Right. So when we first meet with a young person, we really, truly just want to look them in the eye and in the eyes and determine if they're into this fully. And once we're kind of satisfied that they're a good bet to bring into our class, you know, we want to make sure that they're showing up early to on time for every class. You know, we do have to see if they have access to reliable transportation. That's something that does matter in our industry, and that can be a pretty significant barrier that I wish didn't exist, but we have to be pragmatic about it and be honest with our participants. So once we actually get started in the class, we want to provide them with an introduction to the trades. Like you said, there's a variety of trades that are out there. And most of the participants kind of think they know what a carpenter does. They do not know what a union carpenter does. They think they know what a plumber does. They do not know what a union plumber does. They've probably never heard of the glazers. They probably have no idea what a boilermaker does, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So we've got to kind of demystify all of that. And we find that a lot of people who start in our class saying, I know I want to be a carpenter, carpentry's still of interest to them, but that position starts to evolve a little bit as they start to learn a little bit more. One of our very favorite stories is a guy who came in swearing up and down that, he wanted to be a carpenter and he was afraid of heights. Well, he's an iron worker now working on the 480 bridge. So yes. he stared down his demons, I guess. But, you know, AC knew that he was an iron worker. He just saw it in him and, you know, took him to the training center. And, you know, this young guy, I'm going to say his name, Reggie, fell in love with it. And I think he's found a great fit, and I'm very confident that the iron workers are happy to have him. So we do that. You know, I hope no potential participants are listening right now. We do a lot of math and measurement the first couple of classes. Not the most exciting thing in the world, but it's definitely something that you need to have some exposure to. And, you know, very often the participants are, I think a lot of times they just need a refresher. You know, if they've been in the workforce for 10, 15 years, they just haven't done that type of math in a long time.
But it's keeping it real.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What the training shop is going to allow us to do though, is just kind of break up some of those lessons. We used to have, you know, a night devoted to all math and measurement. And now we can divide that up a little bit and throw in some hands-on learning in the middle of a math lesson. So, we won't have people sprinting for the exits when their, you know, eyes are glazing over those first couple of nights. The hands-on training is really, really important. Not so much because this is about developing real technical skill, but really what we want to see is, are you leaning into it? Or are you kind of stepping back, afraid of the challenge, you know, not asking questions, kind of wanting to disappear into the background? Again, I'm not a tradesperson, but I've learned from AC and Darlene that successful apprentices are the people that make it known that they want to learn. They want to develop their skills. And so it's not as if we for the first time see somebody who's not jumping right in, we dismiss that person, but we'll give them a nudge and say, hey, it's going to be really important that you kind of step up. And so we provide those nudges and, sometimes
they also get a drug test too, don't they?
They do. Yeah. They do. Another.
These are hot and ready pre-apprentice.
We like to say it's a long interview process. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of vetting the candidates. And AC gets to know these individuals very, very well from interview on through the training program. So by the time we're ready to place somebody, you know, he knows them pretty well personally and can really sell them inside and out to the apprentice trainers.
Well, Cleveland Builds is just so promising. Michelle, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I just wanted to react to a couple of things Keith and AC were saying about trends and themes that I think we see in workforce programming across sectors here and throughout the country. One is that this is high touch work. It is time consuming. It's expensive. It requires the right coaches like AC, and it should be that way. But it is, it's hard and it's expensive. And I just want to point that out because it also, we know that investment then often means success. And so I think you're sort of proving a model here of what that kind of intensive support really could look like for other kinds of employers too. And the other is that everyone in workforce, every employer wants access to students, to high school students and even younger, to tout the virtues of their particular occupation or their particular sector. And it really is, I call it the hottest game in town. Everyone wants into the schools. And we've seen a lot of success here in CMSD schools, the PACE programming. I can never remember what PACE stands for, but it is career exploration throughout a student's life.
I think it's planning and career exploration.
Yeah, I knew the CE. Planning and career exploration so that students leave high school with a sense of what they're going to do and that we don't lose those students who are not college bound, but instead we're capturing them for programming like Cleveland Builds. And so I think that is a really promising practice that we're doing well here locally and that employers should be really excited about.
I'd love to talk just a little bit more about the built environment, what we call the execution partners, and kind of the full continuum here, mm-hmm. Michelle. And you know, some folks are going to play a role in referring to programs like mm-hmm. ours. Others will play a role in helping to market and promote these opportunities. Which is something we're very excited about, because making sure that we hit our numbers is the marketing piece is probably the biggest challenge mm-hmm. that we're facing right now. And, you know, to be fully transparent about it, the work that the, execution partners will be doing around, mentoring and support mm-hmm. and kind of breaking down barriers. So.
Yeah, so there's two components of the Built Environment Workforce Development Initiative that are testing or piloting new ideas or trying again on some ideas that I think can be really informative and additive to the work. So one is around the marketing and outreach. It's a very hard question in workforce, how to get more people in the door. Even to just have that initial conversation that you all are having with participants about what they might be interested in, what kinds of careers or apprenticeships are the right fit for them. It's hard to get to that point. And one of the things we're going to be testing is different marketing collateral and strategies. So do we think flyers and billboards and radio commercials work, or do we think social media ads work, things like that? And also what those ads look like and what they sound like to be reaching the audience we intend to reach. Another part of the outreach that is, I think, interesting is we'll be working with Cleveland Neighborhood Progress to test a couple different models of outreach. So we have, if you think back to your high school science classes, you have a control group A and a control group B. Control group A is full-time workforce organizers focused on enrolling people into these built environment programs, including Cleveland Builds. They are on the ground full-time talking only about this 40 hours a week and tracking how that goes and how successful they are as trusted community partners in reaching people and enrolling them. And then for all of the other community development corporations under the CNP umbrella, they will have the opportunity to be reimbursed per successful referral. And so they won't have a full-time organizer, but the staff who work there anyway, while they might be talking to a resident about getting access to the internet, they can also mention, you know, have you thought about, and the person doesn't have a job, have you thought about going into a skilled trade? So they'll be paid per referral. And so we'll kind of see which of those strategies pays off in terms of the referrals that they generate. So that's exciting to me. It's kind of in the weeds, but it is something we are going to test and learn from in this project. And then the other big thing we're testing and learning from that I'm very excited about is around the supportive services for anyone enrolling in the built environment programming. So if you're coming to Cleveland Builds, if you're coming, you're going to Tri-C or Spanish American Committee, wherever you're getting your training, we want you to be fully supported through that training. And what we mean by that is reducing the barriers that make it hard for you to get to training, to get to work, to persist and stay, and to employment. And so, you know, as AC was saying, that looks different for everybody. Sometimes it's transportation, sometimes it's childcare, sometimes it's equipment. And, you know, right now, the way my organization operates is we're somewhat restrained in what we can provide, both in terms of the kinds of supports and the dollar amount we can give. We are really reducing some of those restraints with this built environment funding. It's much more flexible, generous support for these built environment enrollees. And we're going to see what it looks like when we actually wholly remove people's barriers to training and what that implies about placement and employment. So that is really promising. And it's also, I think, just a good way to meet this moment that we're in this labor market, but also in a community with persistently high poverty rates.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I see here before we go that you went to Miami University. Yes. So, you know, Tim has it highlighted. So please do share.
Yeah, I did. It feels like a long time ago. I went 20 years ago this summer, was preparing to go to college. I had a wonderful 4 years at Miami, and then I moved straight to Washington after that. And so that was a big part of my story then. But like I said, I'm very happy to be back here in Northeast Ohio. I think another important thing to know about me is I have three daughters. They're pretty young, and you know, I always try to mom out loud, and that's a big part of who I am. And so it also helps keep things in perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever happens at work, know that I've already fought a toddler on getting dressed for the day, so you're not going to derail me.
I'm a mom of twins. Yeah. I think Keith is too.
Oh,
he's
yes,
a dad of twins,
and I have twins.
You have twins too?
I have twins, and then another.
What about
daughter.
You, AC?
All of mine are grown.
Oh, okay. All your kids are grown.
Yes.
Were any of them twins?
No twins. No twins.
It's wild times.
Well, I'll tell you, just it's the city's very lucky to have you and your history and workforce development. The perfect timing for Keith and for you guys to come together. I mean, this, I think Cleveland Builds is just, and I tell you, I'm always applauding your success in just this amazing year of, you know, Cleveland Builds. The members love it. Keith, anything else you would like to share before we go?
Well, I would just say that, you know, the way that Cleveland Builds set up was done very intentionally and thoughtfully. And the fact that we really are, you know, AC and I pride ourselves on being very much worker-centered, and we will never forfeit that. That's always going to be at the heart of everything that we do. But it's really good for us to know that when we're working with somebody, when we're sitting across the table from them, we can say, you stick with us, you follow AC's advice, you follow Darlene's advice, we will get you hooked up with a union, with a contractor that is going to be eager to have you, ready to train you. You're going to get, I mean, union apprenticeship training is some of the best training in the world. You are going to become a skilled tradesperson if you stick with us. And, you know, I think there are some workforce efforts that are really well-intentioned, but they're not linked closely enough to industry. So the fact that we have that ability, it gives us great credibility, and it makes me feel like, you know, we're by far not doing this on our own. we've got a whole industry that's doing this, and we've got a, you know, Michelle and I were just over at City Hall earlier today for the community benefits agreement press conference, and City Hall's really invested in this. The whole community's really invested in it. You know, we want to see when the city, when the county invests money in a project, we want to see city residents and county residents benefiting from those investments. And, you know, that excites the heck out of me. You know, I don't say this lightly, but I really feel like our work is about changing lives and providing young people who probably grew up thinking, if I don't go to college, I'm never going to make it. And then all of a sudden they say, like, I'm not going to go to college. That's not the right fit for me. And you know what? I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
And
But there's no other way to make like $50,000, $60,000 a year unless you go to college.
That's and that's in your first year.
That's first year.
Yeah. AC, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to take a step back to something Keith said. For me, getting some of the companies involved, I would say I would like to see some of the companies understand what that investment is. If it's okay. Cleveland Cement, I stayed loyal to Cleveland Cement for 20 something odd years, because they pretty much molded me. They pretty much made me who I am today. But with that came my loyalty. So when Keith and I first met and talked, it was actually difficult. I almost didn't want to take that step. What sold me on taking that step was the mission Keith put in front of me.
Yeah.
But the most important part was that the company that I was getting ready to leave was a tough leave. And it was because of the investment that they put into me. That investment allowed me to stay loyal to them for so many years. The importance of the companies, the contractors, taking the time to invest in these apprentices. And like Keith said, they want journeymen, they want journey women that have the experience, but taking a little bit of time to take on, a couple of apprentices, you may not know how much you have affected someone's life for the better. Mm-hmm. And you have developed a long time investment in someone that will be loyal to the company to make sure that this company is successful, because they see their success coming right behind the company's success. Yeah. Quite a few of the union halls are really reaching out to Cleveland Builds, whether it's Keith or I saying, hey, this is what we're looking for. This is what we need. And it is in line with Ohio Means Jobs. It's in line with Cleveland because they are looking for Cleveland residents. They know they need it. Keith and I spoke before a couple times. I do believe in assisting, and I think Keith knows I have a passion for it. I won't quite say what he likes to call me sometimes, but I can be a little bit difficult because I'm going to hold you accountable. I want you to show me that you have just as much vested interest in you succeeding as we do. And I can't say I've met a participant that hasn't. So for me, I would just encourage the contractors get a little bit more involved with Cleveland Builds. You will find that diamond in the rough. It's definitely there. Mm-hmm. Because I was a diamond in the rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so were they.
Yes, Most of them.
Well, this has been really a great moment to celebrate Cleveland Builds.
Can we take a vote now to say that Tim doesn't do the podcast anymore?
Well, I don't know. Well, you know what? Actually, I want to shout out Tim and Dave Wolanski for being some of the members of Cleveland Builds, right? This was like a little bit of their brainchild before you came into the picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the way you say Wondolowski.
I know.
It's the Puerto Rican version.
Wondolowski.
He would love that. Dave,
Tim laughs about it.
Dave and Tim came together, I think around the time that the folks in Columbus said that Fannie Lewis was, not something that we were able to continue to enact. Mm-hmm. And, they knew that. Number one, making sure that we were taking care of DE&I on job sites was the right thing to do. Number two, they knew that owners really wanted it and the community really wanted it. And so they said, how can we put a mechanism in place where, we can provide a workforce, a well-trained workforce, a qualified workforce that's going to, be reflective of the city, reflective of the community in terms of getting young people involved, people of color involved, and women involved. And, Cleveland Builds is kind of what came out of that. Mm-hmm. I love telling people that the organization was founded in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. Fortuitous timing, if ever. But organization went to sleep for, 14, 15 months, with a little bit of fundraising in between. And, I came in May of 2021. We did our first apprenticeship readiness program in August of 2021 with a very heavy lift from Jason Shank and Dorian Cannon down at Plumbers Local 55. He was a member of
Jason the... Jason is a member of the Workforce Development
okay.
Board.
Still is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. When I say we're not doing it alone, this is absolutely an industry-led, industry-supported initiative. And we've placed in 13, 14 different trades at this point. I lost track of how many contractors have brought our apprentices on. So we really do enjoy tremendous industry support. We're on the precipice of wonderful city support. The county has been supporting us now for 6-7 months now. So, we're in a great position.
Very exciting.
As Michelle said, this is time intensive, which means it's, you've got to have staff and you've got to have the right staff. You've got to have people like AC. You've got to have people like Darlene who really have a heart for the mission. But, I'm feeling like we've got really good investment right now financially. There's always been kind of that psychic investment that I appreciate, and that's worth a lot. But the financial investment is in place now, and good things are happening.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right. Well, Michelle, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming and, you know, informing us about what's happening in the city. And, you know, Cleveland Builds is not going to be the same 3-5 years from now. It's exciting to watch. AC, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Oh, no.
Okay. I saw him over there. All right. Well, thank you.
This AC has been... always has something to say, Myra.
This has been the Construction Employers Association podcast. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. To find more information about the discussion in this or prior episodes, be sure to check the episode notes section in your podcast app. Get notified and automatically download the latest episode by subscribing to the Construction Employers podcast in the iTunes Store or in Google Play. This podcast is brought to you by the Construction Employers Association. Find us on the web at www.ceacisp.org.